you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Come on, let's pray before we start, hey? Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come here, Lord, and just to dig into your word, to see what you have to say to us tonight. So, Father, we just open up our hearts tonight. We decide to make our hearts fertile soil for you to sow into tonight, Lord God. So have your way, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you haven't been around, I just want to fill you in. We're in a bit of a series at the moment. We're talking about foundations. Foundations, because they are so important to anything that is built above the ground. It is so important what is being put in the ground underneath. And today I wanted to have a little bit of a look, as Dave Reardon said last week, he said, it's great, foundations are so important, they are, but whoever comes around to your house and says, hey, give me a tour of your foundations, they don't. They want to see the house. And so tonight I want to have a bit of a chat about the house and the creation of the house and having balance in our house. Graham's message this morning on sowing and reaping was amazing. So can I suggest you get the podcast on that? It was really, really great. And it speaks into this tonight as well. So let me ask you a question. When we go and we're having a chat with someone, the first thing we say is, oh, how have you been? What's the number one answer you get back? Good? All right, what's the number two answer? You don't say, all right. I don't know if the people I'm talking to, but they say busy. I've been busy. Maybe you guys aren't rolling around with a lot of busy people. They're just good people. But I hear busy a lot. And I was speaking with Chris the other day about this, just about how busy life can get sometimes and the need for rest. And we chatted a little bit about the Sabbath, which was really cool. And I'm looking forward to the message that he's going to do on the Sabbath sometime soon. Is that right, Chris? Next week, Sunday night, come back for the Sabbath.
I guess so.
It's going to be great because it's so important for us to get. But tonight I wanted to open up busyness in a little bit of a different way and chat about that. And though busyness in itself isn't necessarily bad, it's the way we find balance in and amongst that busyness and the rest of our lives that I believe honors God and allows us to be able to walk in line with His calling on each one of our lives. So the title of my message tonight, thanks Josh, is Balanced. If you're writing notes, which I encourage you to do, write it down. The title is Balanced. And if we think about balance, we have three options. And I've got a little prop down here, hence the Britney mic. Oh, it's stuck. A golf club, right? It's a golf club, but it doesn't matter what you're using. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I'm not going to play with it. So balance, right? So if I am holding this up and I'm holding it and I can balance it on my hand. And it's not a really hard thing to do to balance a golf club on your hand like this. But we have three different options when it comes to balance. We've got perfect balance. So perfect balance would this be, I get it, perfectly balanced and it's stationary. And I don't know, it's not technically probably not balancing anymore. It's stationary. But the second one, balancing. So I'm balancing this on my hand, which is great. And then the third one, which is out of balance, which is when obviously it stops being in balance and it falls over, out of balance. And if we take this across our lives, straight away we need to realize that the first one, if we're talking about our lives, the first one, perfect balance, is not achievable for us. We cannot have perfect balance in our lives. Because why? Because we are moving. We are moving. If I have this golf club balancing and I stop moving, it falls down and doesn't hit anything important. It just falls down. If we stop moving in life, what happens? We fall over. For the sake of the podcast, I just hit myself in the head with the golf club. You can laugh now at home if you're listening to it. So motion. We are constantly moving. And if we aren't moving, the circumstances around us are. Yes? There's stuff going on all the time around us. And if I had long enough to stand here with this golf club, I may be able to get it to stand up. Ooh, that was close. But I may be able to get it stand up perfectly. But it's no longer balancing because it's no longer moving. It's stationary. But we are always moving. And we need to make constant constant corrections from my hand in order to maintain balance, therefore maintain balance in our lives. And if we feel like we get to the point in our lives where we cannot be bothered balancing anymore, and we stop, we will fall over. We will fall over. So as we look at our lives, we're not only looking at a simple balance here of one thing, because there are many different balls that we're carrying. There's many things that we've got up in the air and we're trying to hold on to. And so it is a bit of a complex balance. And if you think about it regarding your own life, you think about your own work-life balance, you think about your family time, you think about any leisure activities that you have, holidays, ministry, if you're in ministry, reading and Bible studies and housework and home projects and all this sort of stuff. What sort of makes up our lives. Let me put that down while I keep playing with it. And Chris and I were also talking about this this week, and that there have been people, unfortunately, that we've seen that come into church and they're doing really great, and we're seeing God work in their lives, and then all of a sudden they sort of stop coming, or they start coming a few times here and a few times there, and then really don't see them for a while. And unfortunately, what's happened in some of those situations is that something else comes up, whether it's a big home project or it's a new house or it's a new job or something like that. And so, you know, all of a sudden that something big just goes straight onto the top of the pack. But see, our pack, it does not just keep getting bigger. We all have the same amount of a pack, and it just, unfortunately, when something goes on the top, something has to come off the bottom. It has to come off the bottom. And unfortunately, we've seen too many times that church just gets to the bottom and church ends up just coming off the bottom of the pack. But the thing is, we are only given 168 hours per week. Every one of us, no matter who you are, no matter how young or how old you are, you have 168 hours to spend in your week. Now, I looked at the average Australian sleep pattern, and it says that we sleep 7 hours and 18 minutes on average per night. Now, I surveyed the office, and that seemed about right. I don't know how that works for you, but that gives you roughly 117 hours of total time that you're awake in your week. 117 hours that you and I have to decide what we do with, what we do with it. Contrary to the way we think sometimes, where we think that we have just an unending amount of time. I think the time is limitless, but it is not. Every second that we have is spent. Everything. Cannot put it back. I spoke at youth the other night. I was like, man, everything, you get your wallet out and you spend money, but if you get your wallet of time out, everything you spend, you will not earn any more back. You will not earn any more back. It's what we do with it and the way we manage it that is so important. So as we add more to our lives, like I said, or commit to doing more things, something has to give. Something has to give. And when you put something on top of the pile, something has to come off the bottom of the pile. And whether it's another job or more work, or we add another home project, or we add another kids activity, or we add another Netflix series, you know what I'm saying? You start watching one of those and you, like, there's a good chunk of time that you are going to spend watching the rest of that series, or the 10 series that go with that show, and then the automatic next show that comes up and all that sort of stuff. And again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with any of these things individually, but it's as they take away from what God is trying to do in our lives or what He is speaking to us about that they become an issue. Do we take, when we put a Netflix series on, do we take away sleep? Because something's got to give. Are we taking away sleep? Most of the time, probably. Are we taking away rest, which is so important? Are we taking our Bible reading out of that? Are we taking family time out of that? Are we taking church out of whatever it is? We've got to decide. And it has to be a conscious decision. Because who knows, if you don't actually make the decision straight away, the couch is a much more comfortable place to be sometimes. Or the bed is a much more comfortable place to be sometimes. So it's got to be a conscious decision. So why is balance so important for us? Why do we need to make an emphasis on making these decisions to ensure that we remain balanced? I've got two things that I want to talk to you about tonight. Two things. The first one, is to keep the enemy at a distance. To keep the enemy at a distance. We need to remain balanced to keep the enemy at a distance. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And on the surface, we can read that verse and we can look at it and we can say, look, I'm largely got that together. I'm all good. I'm sober. I'm alert and I'm vigilant. And most of the time I've got that covered. But I want to make it clear that the Bible's not, it's not directly talking about alcohol here. But it's as we dig a little deeper into this verse that we find out exactly what Peter's saying. And I want to pull it out in the Amplified because it pulls the Greek out of that first word, being sober. And it says in Amplified, be sober, well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry. He is fiercely hungry for us. Seeking someone to devour. So it's not just being careful, you know, with alcohol. Again, it's not about being sober in that way. But as I read in one commentary here, it's to keep our appetites and our passions under proper restraint. Let me say that again. To keep our appetites and our passions under proper restraint. Being self-disciplined. Why? Because any area of our lives that is not in proper balance is an open door to the enemy getting a hold of that area. You think about it. You think about the area of work. You think about the area of finances. Think about the hobbies that we can get involved in. Any area that is not in proper balance with what God is saying in His Word is an area where the enemy can get a hold of our lives. I don't know how many times we've seen, or you might have seen someone that get their blinkers on and they get their head down and they've got a goal and they're aiming for something and they are just head down, bum up, just trying to make this thing work. And the problem with that posture in is you cannot see what's coming, and whether there's a trap been laid for you or whatever it is, you cannot see what's coming in front of you when that is exactly the direction that you're going in, when we don't have balance. I heard this great quote. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Because to him, as long as you're walking away from God's calling or not doing anything practically towards it, then he's fine with that. I'm just busy with stuff. Just busy with stuff. So number one, to keep the enemy at a distance. Number two, it's to allow God's calling to be outworked. As we learn to have balance across the areas of our lives, it prevents us from getting so bogged down in one area that, number one, we can't even hear the call of God, or number two, and this is a big, we're too busy to do anything about it. God, I hear what you're saying. I hear where you're calling me towards. I hear what you want to do. But man, I'm just too busy at the moment. I've just got too many other things on at the moment. It's just going to have to come back a notch, God. I'm sorry. Let's open up to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke 10, 38, we're going to read all the way through to verse 42. It's a story of Martha and Mary. And Jesus was heading to their place. Now, while they were on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. But Martha was very busy and distracted with all her serving responsibilities. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me and do her part. It sounds reasonable enough, I suppose. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. I don't know if you know any, I was thinking about this verse. I don't know if you know anyone that they just never seem to be in a hurry. Do you, like, is there anyone you know that whatever you're doing, you can be like, man, I need to be doing this, 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 and the person's like, hey, how you doing? What have you been doing now? I don't know if you know some of those people, we've encountered those. But they're just never in a hurry. They're like, it's like, oh, man, good on you. Good on you if you're that person. But let's look at Martha, though. This is where the balance comes in. For Jesus is not saying, he's not saying, Martha, what you're doing is necessarily wrong in and of itself. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that's not the ultimate point. It's when this busyness takes you away from the Word of God and His calling on your life that you're out of balance. I can just imagine Martha running around and dusting and cleaning and cooking and serving and all doing, you know, being a great host in all the ways that you are a great host. But when the very Word of God is there in your house, I was thinking about it. I wonder how many times that the Word of God is sitting in our house and we are so busy that we end up with dust around the Word of God and we leave it sitting there, we don't open it. It's in our house, but what are we actually doing with it, you know? Are we opening it up to find out what the truth of it is? Or do we lift it up off the table so that we can dust it and then we put it back down there? I don't know. So again, it's not the busyness that's a problem, but it's when it takes away from God's calling. We need to reorder some parts of our life. So how? How do we make sure our life stays balanced? And I've got 3 points for you to write down regarding the how in moving towards balance in our lives. So, Joshua, you can take that one down. Thanks, buddy. So, the golf club. So, it is pretty impossible for me to balance this, and I'm going to move away from everything, if I close my eyes, right? If I close my eyes, I can feel for a minute where the golf club is going, but by the time I can actually get there to correct it, I'm too late and it's already falling over. If you have your eyes closed, it is really hard to do. Even when it's only 1 degree out, you still can't see. You cannot see in your lives. 1 degree. If we're not looking, 1 degree is enough to put us completely off course. But even more than that, if I want to keep this balanced, not only do I need to keep my eyes open, but I need to be looking at the right spot. You can go home and try this if you want. Pull something out, pull a broom out or whatever, and hold it there. And try and balance it while you're looking at your hand. Try and balance it while you're looking at the bottom of the golf club. Because though you can do it for a little while, it's too hard because you can't see where the weight's going. Yet if you look at the top of the golf club or whatever it is you're using, and you can balance, you can stand there and balance it for as long as your arms will hold it up there. So it matters where you're looking when it comes to balance. It matters about your reference point. And I thought it was really cool because it's not about looking down here, but it's as you look up that you're able to balance. As you are looking to what God is saying, that we are able to balance. So point number one, open your eyes. Look up. Our reference point, this Word of God. And practically, it's about taking stock take of our lives. Chris spoke a message on this a few years ago, I think it was. And he sort of encouraged us about really just jotting down all the different things that we do in life, all the different things that we are involved in, and taking a stock take of that. That is the point of taking a stock take, so you can see in one area how much I've got of something or what I'm going to do with it, and you can tell whether you need to get rid of some or you need to get more of that. What are you doing that's bringing you closer to God, and what are you doing that's not? And that's the question. It's not what are you doing that's bringing you closer to God and what are you doing that's pushing you further from God. It's what are you doing that's bringing you closer to God and what are you doing that's not. Because that's really doing the other thing anyway. Staying still is not moving closer to God. So if we don't lay it all out, if we don't have that reference point, we're not going to be able to be balanced. I watch a bit of basketball. NBA is my sport of choice. Footy, I know a lot of people love, but NBA is my thing. And they have halftime shows at the NBA. It doesn't matter how long the games go. They have a halftime show. And they'll have an act. They'll have someone come there and do something funny or whatever it is. And there's this one lady who does an amazing trick with some bowls. And I wanted to show you a little video of that tonight. So it speaks into this really well. Thanks, Josh. I'm from Catalyst Conference, by the way.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our Catalyst stage, the Red Panda Acrobat. Give her a big hand.
Good job.
Great job.
Pretty incredible, right? She does that. She does one bowl, then she does two, three, four, up to five. I just cut a lot of that stuff out. But wow, amazing. Amazing balance required to be able to do something like that. And not only is that incredible, but it gives us a bit of a look, and we can apply that to sort of what we're talking about here tonight. Because what was she doing while she was working out the bowls and working out this, and what was she doing with the other leg? The whole time she was using that to balance, because if she had have stopped and stayed still, oh, it would have just gone over like crazy. But she didn't. She just kept moving. And so that's the second point that we've got here tonight. Open your eyes. The second one is make constant corrections. We need to continually be looking at this stuff, continually be making corrections in our lives in order to maintain balance. And really, we could retitle this message from balanced to balancing, because that's what we are continuing to do. Balancing, we are. I read this quote, balance is like a pendulum. It's that brief moment in the middle when you're swinging from one side to the other. And that's what kind of what we're doing with the different things that we do in life. We're swinging from one side to the other, and it is in the middle. Circumstances change. We find ourselves in busy periods of life for one reason or another, not all of which are in our control. And so we start a project at home that requires a bit more attention. Or work is so crazy busy at the moment that we need to do a few more hours. Or there's 100 family birthdays in the same month that we need to attend. It's okay as long as we're able to make the constant adjustments necessary to remain balanced. Jaken Du is one of our amazing youth leaders. He is a faithful servant of this place. He has been around a while, and he's going to help me out with something tonight. So come on, let's give Jaken a hand. Jaken's got a prop here I've organised for him. So we've got some weights here. It's not enough, you reckon? Not enough on there. So Jaken, just hold that for us. Yeah, you can put it down if you want. That's fine. So what we've got here is some weights on a bar. And this is called a barbell. And so we've got 10, we've got 20, we've got 25, we've got 27.5 kilos here on the bar. All right? And Jaken, I want you to pick it up for us. So what I want you to notice is that we've got a 10 kilo weight on there and a 10 kilo weight on here. We've got 5 kilos on that side, 5 kilos. We've got 2.5 there and we've got 2.5 here to make it what? Exactly. So Jaken, pick it up to make it big. All right, so Jaken, just see if you can do a couple of curls for us. Yeah, perfect. Two, do another one. And do one more. Beautiful, perfect. Thanks, man. You can plonk them down for a second. Just wait here. So Jaken could do that, and although it was, like, that wasn't easy, like, it's not like... when you're a man this size, it is, anything's easy like that. I'm not... A wife yelling that out. I'm not doing that. But you are welcome to try if you'd like. So it's not like you could stand there and do that for the rest of your life. You'd get tired and you wouldn't be able to do it. But it was doable, right? It was doable. The weight's on there. It was doable. His last name is Du, so doable. But what would happen? What happens if this becomes unbalanced? And so take that collar off there, Jake, and I'll pass you these. So we're going to take the 2.5 off here and pop it on that side. We're going to take the 5 off here, pop it on that side. Let's just leave the 10 here, all right? We'll see how you go. Pop it back on. Now, pick it up in the same spot that you had it, because we're not picking it up in a different spot when we're looking at the weight that we do. So pick it up in the same spot. So his left arm is going to be overcompensating a big time right now. All right, try that, man. See if you can curl that. One more time. All right, you can pop that down. So what's happened is we've unloaded a few things of an area of our life and we've put them on the other side, and we're still trying to do the same thing. We're modifying a little bit the way we're doing it because we're still trying to achieve what we need to achieve, but it's becoming harder. Now take that off again. Now we're going to take the 10 and put it on there as well. Now you can have the other collar too. Make it even more weighty. There's no room? All right, we'll do it up real tight then, all right? Who reckons he can do it? You can do it. No, you can't. All right, go. Pick it up in the same spot. Tighten it up.
Have you done a risk analysis on this?
Yeah, it's fine. Look at him. All right, so you don't even try it. That's not going to... No. Put it down. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You can leave that right there. Let's give Jake a hand. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Point is, what's happened here is that the weight hasn't changed. The total weight on the bar has not changed, but where we have put it in our lives has. And what he was able to manage before, what he was able to do, the weight was fine. But as we shift different things in our lives and shuffle them around to still try, and we're still trying to live and we're still trying to do what we do, we end up with this sort of thing that we're trying to modify what we're doing, and it just doesn't work. And we end up just in a position where we cannot lift anything anymore. We cannot lift the weight that we have. Does that make sense? You understand? So the weight doesn't change necessarily, but our ability to carry that weight does. And as I was thinking about this, I'm like, man, like the weight of what we carry in life, we weren't made to carry this by ourselves anyway. That's where the balance comes in, and putting the things of God into our life, like reading the Bible and like daily prayer and like attending church and doing Bible study, like all of these different things are like we're chucking the weight on the other side to balance out the different things in our life. And what's more than that, God speaks to us as we do that. We learn about him and we fall more and more in love with him as we continue to do that. And as he helps balance out our lives, we're able to do what we need to do. And you know what God does? He will put a little bit, we put a little bit more on that side, we'll put a little bit more on this side, and he will still, you're able to carry much more weight when you have your balance correct and you are putting in what you need to put in when it comes to God and his word. Yeah? Third point, last one, is prioritize your priorities. It sounds silly, I know, but saying and doing these things are two very different things. But we need to prioritize our priorities. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23, it says this: all things are lawful, that is morally legitimate, permissible, but not all things are beneficial or advantageous. All things are lawful, but not all things are constructive to character and edifying to spiritual life. So what are we doing that's constructive to your character? What are you doing that's edifying to your spiritual life? I love this quote from Louis Giglio. He says this: whenever you say yes to anything, there is less of you for something else. Make sure your yes is worth the less. So simple, but so true. So let's make sure if we're saying yes to something, our yes is worth the less. So balance, it's incredibly important to us in our lives and making sure. And again, it's easier said than done. There's some hard decisions that sometimes we need to make when it comes to cutting things out of our lives or committing to other things in our lives. But I encourage you, church, if we're ready to do this, God will move in you and he'll move through you in a mighty, mighty way. So I'm speaking in a couple of weeks' time again on Sunday night, and I want to continue this conversation and talk a little bit more about how we change things in our lives, which is going to be great. But if I can give you a little bit of homework, if you're willing to take it, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework before then. It would be this: set aside an hour or so of your time. Thanks, Josh, you can get rid of that. Set aside an hour or so of your time with some paper and with a pen, and just jot down your week, hour by hour, in the different ways that you spend your time, whether it be traveling to work or whether it be sitting at home or whether it be sleeping or eating or whatever it is. Jot it all down. And then on a separate bit of paper, write down some of the priorities, some of the things that you want to do. What are your priorities of life? Is it to read the Bible more? Is it to learn something about something else, or what is it that God's putting on your heart? And then just have a look at those and see if what you're actually doing is helping you achieve anything towards these priorities that you have in your life. So if you can do that, I'm sure it's going to be great. And this process shouldn't be a one-off either, because we understand that the pendulum continues to swing. Our circumstances continue to change, and we need to make constant adjustments. All right, cool. Let's pray. Father God, we understand that the life sometimes just gets busy. We're all living different lives, and we all have different circumstances. We have different families. We have different jobs. But we have one God. And Father God, we don't want our lives to be such that we want to fit you into what we're doing, Lord, but we want to be putting you first and having everything else come out of that. So, Father, as we go this night, I pray for all of us, and for me included, Lord, that you would just continually make us aware of areas in our lives that require some balance. And Father, that you would give us the strength to say no or to say yes in any area. So Father, we are encouraged that we get to do this with you. And we look forward to what you are going to do in us and what you're going to reveal to us as we continually make these adjustments in our lives. So all glory be to you, Father God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your instruction in that, Lord God. We thank you that we don't have to do life by ourselves. And we pray this in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.